Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday. Hope you are having a great day. It's August the 19th, 2013. The Buckmaster Show is live each weekday, noon to 1. We are here 1204 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's most powerful news talk station. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Also, you can hear the program as we podcast to buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, tucsoncitizen.com. All carry our podcasts, which are usually available within about an hour of the conclusion of the program. On today's show, the Monday Political Face-Off, today's team of commentators, Bruce Ash and Paul Ackerstrom, 30 minutes past the hour. We'll talk about the future role of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, and then we'll talk with science, space science, with Dr. Mark Sykes, head of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. If you have a comment or question, 790-2040 for the Buckmaster Show live line, or we invite you to join us on Facebook. Become a friend of the Buckmaster Show by finding us on Facebook at Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Every Monday here on the program, we kick things off with the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is with me. He is seated to the right of me. He's the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. And Paul Ackerstrom, seated to my left, is the vice or former vice chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, but Paul has been involved in Democratic Party activities for many, many years. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. I was over saying hello to Moe on Saturday, picked up a job that he had done for me, and of course, it was perfect. That's what Moe does. They do custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Bruce and Paul, I don't think Moe ever gets any complaints. Everybody that goes there loves his work, right?
Yeah.
He does a great job.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
His daughter has him on Facebook.
Yeah.
He doesn't know the specials that she's doing, so.
Yes, Corinne does have Mo on Facebook, and he's still trying to figure out what that is all about.
He's still trying to figure out AOL.
Bruce, welcome back. You were in Boston at the Republican National Committee meeting, and Paul, good to see you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Our friend Emil Franzi writes today in his Southern Arizona News Examiner, which is SOAZNewsSX.com. Yeah. Writes about the 168-member Republican National Committee in Boston overwhelmingly supported a resolution sponsored by you, Bruce Ash, that reflects an easy, rejects an easy path to citizenship for those current residents who entered the country illegally while calling for major reforms in immigration policy. So, in effect, you are rejecting the John McCain and the other seven members of the Group of Eight.
Well, the resolution talks about legal immigration as being a way to build our economy and to end what has been a very vexing problem here in our country for many, many years, to take kids who came here with their parents. You know, they didn't have a choice when they came here. Give them an opportunity to complete their education, to go to work, and to be able to work here in this country. And the same thing for people who came here themselves as adults illegally. And you know, many of these folks are working and in the economy, although kind of in an underground economy. It brings everybody into the open. And it gives everybody a chance to work and to build our economy. It talks very clearly about Congress completing the double-layer fence, more importantly, to properly employ ICE agents for interior enforcement. We have had nearly 60% of all of the illegal immigrants in our country don't come across a border, Bill and Paul. They come here with airline tickets and steamship tickets and visas, and they overstay their visas. This would also give the ability to colleges, Wall Street, Main Street, to get a harness on all of the great talent who's come here to this country, working in colleges, getting their degrees, already working for major companies, and give those folks the ability to be a part of our country and a part of our economy. And for anybody who says that this creates a second-class citizenship, I would tell them I reject that on its face, because when folks came to this country, whether they be by an airline or across a border, they came here for a job. They didn't come here for a vote. And that's all the Democrat Party, and frankly, that's all some members of my party want to do, is they want to create electioneering games to aid them in future elections. Good national policy isn't about elections.
Paul Eckerstrom, what's your reaction to this, which Bruce has put forward?
Well, there's some points, and I've agreed with Bruce on air before on some of the points, is, you know, expand a program where people can come here legally and work. I would hope that those people who come here legally would have a path to citizenship, Bruce, because we've always had that.
Yeah.
I think that's important, because if we have a good worker or somebody graduated from college, we want them to end up being a citizen in this country.
We want to encourage that kind of good citizenship.
But, you know, here's the problem. If we're going to actually get something passed, there has to be some compromise and give and take. And we had a compromise and give and take in the Senate plan. I don't particularly think the Senate plan is that great, because I think it makes it too difficult for those people, 11 million people that came here undocumented, to come out of the shadows and become a legal worker. It does have a provision where they could get citizenship down the road. It's very difficult. It's not an easy path, as Bruce has put, to become a citizen. But I think that's important as a carrot. I don't think a lot of those folks will ever become citizens, but would become legal here. The problem with the McCain bill, the compromise bill, is that it makes it too difficult to come out of those shadows, and only maybe 1 or 2 million people is projected of the 11 million would come out of those shadows. I absolutely disagree about the Dreamers, the kids that were brought here by their parents, didn't have any say in the matter, have nothing about the culture they came from or the place they came from, maybe not even speak the language, only speaks English, who've gone through the schools here, who some of them, you know, have gotten through college and are ready to contribute to our society but don't have legal status. Yes, they need legal status, but they absolutely those people should have a chance at citizenship, because frankly they don't have anywhere else to go. They don't really have a nation then. You know, because they've grown up here.
This gives it to them, Bruce, you say?
No, this gives dreamers, using Paul's word, the ability to work and go to school, raise a family, have every single benefit of citizenship except for one thing. And it's the thing that the Democrat Party is the most interested in, and that's the vote. And there's no reason to reward illegal entry, whether you came here with your parents at no fault of your own, or you forged identification, as many people have had to do under this very broken system that we've had. And really, Paul, it's our own government who's created this problem, and it's both of our political parties who have used this as a political wedge issue with one another. It's time to stop that. This is an elegant solution that employs American solutions to a very, very difficult problem. This does allow all sides to win in this matter, and gives our economy a chance to grow. Let's let this economy get bolstered by the talent, the hard effort, the blood, sweat, and tears of everybody who's here in this country, and get employers away from taking advantage of these poor folks who are here illegally and can't get a job otherwise.
And I don't disagree with Bruce that we need enforcement in the interior of the country, not just at the border. And that includes, you know, enforcement at the point of employment. And we have the technology, I think, to do that. And I think the resolution indicated that. So that's something. There's a lot of things to agree on there. But, you know, everything's a little bit of give and take. And to say that this is about votes is missing the whole point.
Your party has said it as well as mine.
No, it's not about votes. It's about treating people fairly. And let me tell you, the amount of votes that we would get from those 11 million people, and most of them would never make it to citizenship based on how many hoops they would have to go through under the current proposal under the Gang of Eight. It's absurd to say that that's what's driving it. Democrats, it's about just being fair. If somebody's here all their life, worked hard, jumped through all of those hoops, there's no reason they shouldn't have citizenship. And by the way, it's not just the vote that you have, but if you run across the foul of our criminal statutes, for example, even if it's a misdemeanor, certain types of misdemeanors can get you deported. Like that, even if you're here legally. So I to pretend like that's what this is all about, it isn't. But it is another, by the way, carrot to get those people to come out of the shadows that they at least would have a chance at someday achieving citizenship. Paul, and especially the Dreamers. I don't understand that one at all, that they should have the ability to have a path to citizenship because really they don't have a country otherwise. The country that their parents brought them from, they have no connection to. Most of them. They have very, very little connection to. Many of them were brought here when they were very, very young, and that's just not fair to those folks.
They still have citizenship in their country of origin. That's not correct, Paul.
They don't have any connection to that country. If you get sent back to that country, they don't have any ability to deal with it.
And this regularizes
many of them don't even speak the language.
Paul, this regularizes them so that they can go back at any time to their country of origin and not have a difficult time getting in. This is a multi-generational problem that's developed in part because of our political process and the poor way that the government has run the immigration system over many, many decades. It's going to be a multi-generational solution because their children are going to be citizens. They will have the vote. Mom and dad, grandparents will have every single benefit except that of voting.
All right, we're going to take a break. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. We're talking with Bruce Ash and Paul Ekstrom. Mr. Ash is just back from Boston where he led a very successful effort with the Republican National Committee to pretty much with the RNC rejecting John McCain and the Group of Eight over their immigration plan. And Mr. Ash's plan was passed by the RNC. We'll be right back. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is here and Paul Ackerstrom. It is our face-off presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgowrie.com. We've been talking with Bruce and Paul about the resolution that Bruce Ash put forward successfully with the, for those who don't know, Bruce is the Arizona National Committeeman for the Republican National Party, and he put forward a resolution. Really, it's, I guess, did you craft this immigration plan yourself?
I did.
You did.
I did, yeah.
This was your plan. Before we get back to some more of the information that came out at that RNC meeting. Just quick reaction, Paul Ackerstrom. The city of Phoenix and Tucson, a judge has ruled in favor of granting a permanent injunction from a 2012 law that would have required the two municipalities to hold their elections in even-numbered years. And of course, right now, Tucson and Phoenix and have for years hold them in odd-numbered years.
Well, I think that was an important ruling. I'm sure it's going to be appealed. It'll probably go up to the Arizona Supreme Court. But I hope it holds because, you know, if the city council races are thrown in with the amalgamation of all the other races every 2 years, you know, whether it be president all the way down to, you know, clerk of the court, and also all the initiatives go with it, I think it will detract away from us being able to concentrate on an election for our local government. And local government is where the rubber meets the road anyway for people. That's the most responsive government, most important government for people in terms of their daily lives. And I think people need to be able to focus on those races. If you got too many races in too many jurisdictions on the ballot, then it people lose focus, especially in those down ballot races like a city council race. But if the city council and mayor's race is a standalone race in a particular year, like we have in Tucson and in Phoenix, I think that's a good thing to allow the electorate to get educated about their local officials before they vote.
You agree, Bruce Ash?
Obviously, I wish that the city council elections, mayoral elections, were in the off year, you know, either with presidential years or the congressional years, not in the odd years. I think, though, that this is sort of a moot question. I'm not even sure, Paul, and you're a lawyer, I'm not, mm-hmm. but, you know, city charters do mean something, and probably this is covered under city charter law, and that's maybe where this argument fell down as far as the court challenge. You know, we are in some serious need, I think, of city charter reform. This is the same charter that was developed, in 1927?
Mm-hmm.
It's had a few tune-ups along the way, but it's an old charter, almost 100 years old. And, you know, we've talked about it before. I know that you sort of chuckle whenever I say this, but it really does contain some of the Jim Crow sort of principles in it that have hurt the city when there are significant amounts of Republicans who live in Northeast and Eastern wards, and with a citywide election, you know, you get thrown in with everybody. And considering the way that city council people protect their wards so closely, it's wrong for Republicans who would clearly win a Northeast side election, who would clearly win an East side election, to get shut out, and for there literally to be one party rule in this town for the last 30 years. And we see the results of it.
I disagree that there's been one party rule. There's been plenty of Republicans on the city council. And I would also say, Bruce, I don't have a real issue with changing the city charter to reflect maybe ward-only elections in the general election as well as the way we have it in the primaries. I don't have a problem with that because, frankly, that would solidify a majority on the council for the Democrats forever. But that's beside the point politically. Either way, it doesn't bother me which way you want to go with it. I do think a city charter change is probably necessary for a number of reasons. One, what we pay city council people is just abysmal, and we don't draw the best and the brightest running for office then. But more importantly, and I really believe this, is we need a strong mayor system. I think that would be a better system. I know San Diego and Albuquerque went to that in recent years, and they've had real results because of it in terms of economic development. So I think a strong mayor, where the mayor is the administrative branch of government in the local government, it is not a bad idea as well. So I'm with Bruce that maybe our city charter should be looked at. I do believe, though, that you know there is some advantage to being in those even number of years with all those other candidates on the ballot, in that there is a higher turnout in those years among voters. But at the same time, it you'll lose the effect where those voters really get educated about those down ballot candidates, which would be on the city council. Mm-hmm. So, you know, either way, I think it's a problem. But I think legally it is a challenge because it is a city charter issue. And I think that's what the court ruled. Mm-hmm. And I think the Arizona Supreme Court probably will uphold the ruling of the trial court for that reason.
All right. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Rick Grinnell, former Tucson mayoral council and mayoral candidate. Rick, how are you today?
I'm grand. How you all doing?
Doing well. You have a comment? Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, actually, first of all, I actually have to agree with the ruling that came down by the courts, because the importance of city council elections would get lost dramatically in a governor's race or particularly a presidential race. And what you would see is very much a party ticket, particularly down in southern Arizona or Tucson area. The Democrats would seriously have an advantage. But here's my bigger concern, and this goes to the ward-only issue. We recently had a discussion and a debate on acquiescing to one council member's ward or another on decisions, Grand Canyon University, and yet they all talk about running citywide. We represent citywide, but it becomes very territorial when it's convenient, and to disassociate themselves from responsibility. So why don't we just eliminate the discussion, go to ward only, go to a stronger mayor form of government, and that way the citizens can have some direct representation instead of this parsed out convenient representation.
Okay. I have to agree with Rick. I'll tell you, if we want to do a ward only charter, Bruce, and you're in agreement that we should have a strong mayor as well, I think we have the makings of a new charter. I don't have a problem with ward only, especially if we get a strong mayor system in, which I think is the most important change.
I think strong mayor is important. I think ward only is important. The mood of the town right now might not be in favor of giving either mayor or city council people more dough. And that's what has failed many times in the past.
Unfortunately,
with the other changes.
I do believe, though, that if you want quality people running for this office, you got to give them at least a living wage, because it really is a full time job now. It really is.
Yeah, I agree.
Bruce, I've only got about a minute to go. There was some other news out of your meeting in Boston concerning when the presidential debates, the primary debates come up. Can you kind of summarize it real quickly for me?
Yeah, the chairman has articulated a plan. He's been working very hard on this over the past several months with our Growth and Opportunity Project, which would shorten the primary calendar, would also move up the conventions, and would control the number of debates that would be done within the Republican Party and control the venue and the moderating for those debates. And it has good member support. This also will require a three-quarters vote of the entire RNC, a very, very difficult hurdle to achieve. As the chairman of the Standing Committee on Rules for the RNC, we began that process. There's a subcommittee that's been formed studying all of the what we call our Rule 12 amendments. And I'm actually meeting, Paul, you'll like this, with James Roosevelt III later in September. He's the chairman of the DNC Rules Committee. And we're going to be talking in a collaborative sort of a way. Or maybe better put, I'll be listening, he'll be talking.
All right, Paul Eckerstrom, Bruce Ash, thank you, gentlemen. Hope you Thanks. Have a great week. Mm-hmm. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They can take care of all of your framing needs. They have wonderful art in the gallery also, and picture framing and hanging services, hanging systems there at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We will talk about the future of Davis Mountain Air Force Base when we continue after the break.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Prosecutors asking a military judge to sentence Army Private Bradley Manning to 60 years in prison. The sentencing phase of Manning's court-martial now underway at Fort Meade in Maryland. Prosecutors at the trial of Nidal Hassan in the Fort Hood shooting rampage in Texas will not be allowed to make reference to Hassan Akbar. He was a Muslim soldier sentenced to death for attacking fellow soldiers in Kuwait during the 2003 Iraq invasion. Authorities in Fresno, California now say they do not believe that drugs or alcohol were factors in the overnight collision between a car and a freight train that left four people dead. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 48 points, 15,033. The NASDAQ is off 6 points. More details at srnnews.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. There is a lot of concern in the community right now about the future of Davis Mountain Air Force Base and the economic impact of the base, which is tied really to more than 19,000 jobs with an estimated annual economic impact. When you consider the retirees who also use the base, it's really close to $1.6 billion. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, General John Regney, who spent nearly 40 years as a commissioned officer in a variety of assignments, from the Pentagon to commander to major command staff. He headed up the Air Force Academy, his alma mater, from 2005 to 2009, retired now to the Phoenix area. He is a strategic planning consultant, including tech advisor for the national security to the Arizona Commerce Authority. General Regney is leading an effort for Arizona to be named as a base for unmanned aircraft. General, how are you today?
Bill, I'm doing very well, thank you. Thanks for the call in.
Let me ask you, how much of this is a perception that the base DM is in trouble, and how much is reality, sir?
Well, Bill, as you know, with all the budget reductions and the challenges that are facing the Department of Defense, the Air Force Chief of Staff has looked at all of his installations, and he testified last week, or at least in an interview, said that there's about 20% excess installations in the Air Force. And I would tell you that the Army has similar challenges as well. So I think it's very real that we have excess infrastructure and capacity for the size of the military forces that we have.
Senator Flake was in Tucson last week, General, and he was speaking on another radio show saying that he believes the phase out of the A-10 at DM could begin within 2 years. What do you say to that when you hear that kind of a statement?
I have not seen the latest Air Force plan for phasing out the A-10. You know, the A-10 is a venerable close air support ground close air support aircraft, and they do it very well. The documents I've seen have shown that the A-10 will be in the inventory through 2025. There will be a phase out as the F-35 replaces the A-10. Now, having said that, that's all without seeing the latest cuts for sequestration. As you well know and your listeners know, the next round of sequestration is due to kick in 2014 with an additional $58 billion of cuts to the Department of Defense. So there's going to be contingency plans tied to that to save and not spend $58 billion additional dollars.
General, what do you see? How do you see the role of Davis Mountain in the future? Obviously, the commonly referred to as the boneyard, it would be highly unusual for it to go anywhere, correct? I mean, that's going to be part of the landscape, isn't it?
Oh, I would agree. The boneyard, as we so affectionately call it, you know, the AMARG, it's perfectly situated and its mission is being performed superbly. And I think that will always be in the Tucson area. Of course, it would require an airstrip and airfield operations to service that. So the AMARG is very, very secure.
Well, give me a little bit of an idea the way things might look at DM in a few years. Could you kind of give me an overview?
Well, I think if you're talking about realignment and closure, Bill, the first thing that has to happen is congressional authorization to do that. And in 2012, included in the president's budget was that request for authority, and the Congress said no. It's similarly in the current request for the next year's budget, and indications are that Congress would say no. But in all likelihood, in 2014, Congress would say yes, given the pressures that are on the services with excess infrastructure and not enough dollars to keep everything open. So I think that BRAC is a real possibility, and when that happens, then all the installations, including Davis-Monthan, will be looked at for how much excess capacity versus the bed down of all the Air Force fighters and close air support aircraft, and where they should best be.
How about the role of the unmanned aircraft here in Arizona, not just at DM, or are they looking at one particular base for those particular aircraft in Arizona?
I'll tell you, Bill, we're very excited about the prospects of having Arizona host one of the FAA's test ranges for unmanned systems. And this, by the way, is for civilian applications of that technology. No, we have not picked just one corner of the state. Arizona has so many assets and resources that make it stand head and shoulders above the rest of the country that we've assembled four pieces of it. There's three separate geographic parts of the state that would each house test ranges, and most of them are in your backyard. It's in southern Arizona, starting with or centered around Yuma, then the southwest range. In the southeastern range, we have the airports at Benson and Safford, and close to the brain power of Fort Huachuca, and leaning back into the Tucson area as well. And then we have a northern range around Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Prescott. And we also have a fourth range that is a virtual range for modeling and simulation to do those testing before we go into the physical environments to test. There's also a research consortium that bands together all the universities in the state, regardless of school colors and allegiances for football and basketball and other things like that. And it's really, we have assembled 350 PhDs from the University of Arizona, from Arizona State, from Northern Arizona, and from Embry-Riddle and so forth, with the Science Foundation overseeing that, to really tap the brain power that we have to do this testing so the FAA can very safely integrate manned and unmanned aircraft in the same airspace.
General John Regney is with us on the Buckmaster Show. He is retired from the Air Force after spending nearly 40 years. That's a long time. Is that about right, 40
yeah.
years?
Yeah. I had an option to go to the Air Force Academy as a 17-year-old or go to Woodstock with my high school buddies in 1969. So I chose Colorado instead of upstate New York, and I retired in 2009. So 40 years.
General Regney is the tech advisor for national security, the Arizona Commerce Authority, and he's leading the effort for Arizona to be named as a base for unmanned aircraft. How big a deal was it, Tucson not getting chosen, General, for the F-35 fighter? That decision went to Luke Air Force Base up in the Phoenix area. How big a deal was that for Tucson and DM to lose that particular function?
Well, I will tell you, Bill, that the fight is not over. Arizona is already a strong host for the F-35 aircraft with the Marine Corps Air Station Yuma. They're the sole training base for the Marines for all F-35Bs. They take off vertically, by the way. Luke is the primary Air Force base training for F-35s, and we'll have 144 in the Litchfield Park area and Glendale area of the state. The 162nd fighter wing at your airport was the one you're referring to. There was a recent decision not to bed down a squadron there. But I think that by 2014, we will have the final decision on bedding down another training squadron. And the 162nd, with its international training of fighter pilots with our allies, is already doing that mission. It's the perfect host, in my opinion, to continue that mission with the F-35s. And I know that the business and other leaders of the Tucson area are engaged with the Pentagon to make sure that they fully understand why the 162nd should be that host. So there's still an opportunity. And I will add that as the F-35 replaces the A-10 aircraft long-term, of course, there's another opportunity for the 355th Wing to host the F-35 as well.
General Regney, thank you very much for spending some time with us. Hope to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Bill. I really appreciate it, and best of luck.
Thanks a lot. General John Regney speaking with us on the Buckmaster Show. He's the tech advisor for national security to the Arizona Commerce Authority. He spent nearly 40 years in many leadership positions in the Air Force, and most recently, he was the commander, headed up the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. We'll be right back on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Looking for that perfect late summer getaway? I recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Ranked number one on TripAdvisor, Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up.
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Well, Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show, presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County. Just heard from them today saying, thank you, Bill. We're getting folks coming over and enjoying a nice weekend over in Silver City, where it is at least 15 degrees cooler. And it's only about three and a half hours east of Tucson. And the fine folks over there wanted me to let you know, our Buckmaster Show listeners, that Labor Day weekend is going to be a great weekend over there. They have a gem and mineral show. Sounds familiar for Tucson. For people that love gem and minerals, they're going to have one over in Silver City. And a Chicano Music Festival coming up on the Labor Day weekend. You can find out more about it at Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. And great places to stay, including Casitas de Gila and Georgetown Cabins. And let me give you another one, Pinos Altos Cabins. So great friends over there in Silver City and Grant County. It's a fun weekend. Joining me in studio for his monthly visit, Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which is celebrating now its 41st year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. He's a very busy guy. He chairs NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group. We're not talking about human small bodies. We're talking about bodies in the universe that are kind of small, I guess.
Yeah, actually, I've what transitioned qualifies? To past chair, but asteroids,
okay.
Comets.
I need to change my intro. He is now the past chair.
And backup dancer.
Okay. So if you're a small body, what's the qualification to be in the assessment group?
Asteroids, comets, dust. Dwarf planets, you know, we take every object in the solar system that doesn't get no respect.
The Rodney Dangerfield of outer space.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Hey, let's talk about Curiosity. Mm-hmm. It has turned out to be one of NASA's most fascinating projects in the year since it first landed on Mars. It has sent back no shortage of amazing photos and videos from the Martian surface. And just recently, it captured something new, Mars's two moons eclipsing each other.
Yeah, yeah, very fascinating. I believe that Phobos is about the one-third the size of our moon in the Martian sky. Mm. And so it saw a Phobos running across the path of Deimos. And made for a really interesting little movie there. But this is also a rehearsal for down the road a year from this October, when Comet Sighting Spring is going to be coming about 60,000 miles away from the Martian surface. And that's about a third of the distance of the moon. And it'll be quite spectacular to see something that close. And so practicing looking at phenomena up there, not on the ground where they're doing most of their work, but up in the sky.
And Curiosity is heading right now to the base of Mount Sharp on Mars. Any idea how tall Mount Sharp is?
Oh,
this is always Stump the Director. We need to rename the segment.
It's a few thousand
it's
feet.
Bill Buckmaster always coming up with something to stump Dr. Mark Sykes.
It's hoping to, it's going to be arriving at the base of it pretty soon and then start climbing up and looking for evidence of layering of past water activity and other activity on the surface of Mars.
Meanwhile, Opportunity Rover keeps chugging along on Mars. Are we talking like 9 years?
It's been over nine
Unbelievable.
Years. Yeah, it had a 90-day mission. So it's a little rover that could.
Yeah.
It's been doing some great stuff. It continues to do good work.
Has it been pumping its own gas on Mars, or is it?
Well, fortunately, it got some solar panels that, in fact, there was a problem at one time when they were covered by dust, and so that cut down the amount of sunlight. But on Mars, there's also dust devils, and a dust devil came by and swept the dust off.
We have dust devils too.
Yeah.
Probably not as big as the ones.
No. On Mars, they're like 100 kilometers up in the sky.
Yeah.
So
all of these topics were addressed at your very successful weekend retreat.
The last part of last week, Wednesday mm-hmm. through Friday. Every year we bring in our scientists from around the country and the world to Tucson when it's most interesting in
August. Bring them in
August.
The heat of the summer.
And but it's just great to see everybody because we're scattered about in 19 states and 9 countries, and this is an opportunity for everybody to get together, interact, share their research results, talk about plans for the future, and create new collaborations. It's a very exciting time.
For them to return to the mothership.
Yes, yes, yeah. We even had practice meteorite hunting training.
Oh, really?
Yes, with a local meteorite expert and collector, Marvin Kilgore, and our own Mark Fries. They salted an area for us to go out and see if we could find stuff, you know, with some of their guidance. So that was a lot of fun.
Nearly 100 PhDs all in one location. That could almost qualify for the Guinness Book of World Records.
Well, no, there's some big meetings over the course of the year where I'm sure many more are present.
Mark Sykes with us of the Planetary Science Institute here in Tucson, of which I am proud to be a member, and I always urge our Buckmaster Show listeners to join the fold as well. Folks do a lot of good work, and the economic impact just from your most recent retreat, it spends a little money around in a real slow – actually, that's a good part for the,
yeah,
for
yeah,
the tourism industry, right. Spreads a little money around in a slow time of year here.
We had our retreat at the Westward Look, which was a wonderful facility, and we had our banquet Thursday night at the Arizona Inn, which was a beautiful, wonderful place, and the food was fantastic.
Good. Also, you got a review of the Cassini mission. Any exciting things going on with that?
Well, it's got several more years to go, and now when Cassini got there, it was in southern summer, and it's been through equinox where it was kind of like ring edge on, and now we're moving into northern summer, and it's seeing things like these huge storms, much larger than the Earth, you know, forming and in the atmosphere. They've observed things like impacts into the rings from you know some outside asteroid, you know, hitting it, a very kind of a spectacular thing to figure out. And there's been close-up pictures of moons that we hadn't seen before that had a lot of us scratching our heads when we were looking at it at the retreat. And we're going to have some more conversations about, gee, how do you get this these kind of gravelly flows, you know, on the surface of such a small body.
And Cassini's been operating, you know, we were saying about Opportunity Rover 9 years. So I guess Cassini is pretty much in that same time frame.
Yes, it's been operating for 9 years as well.
And how long was it designed to? Was
I think this is like its third or fourth extended mission. I think it was only supposed to go for a few years, and now we're hoping it'll continue on until 2017. And at the very end of its mission, it's going to end up in a polar orbit on Saturn, get very close inside of the rings,
really
orbiting the poles of Saturn, and under determining what the interior structure of Saturn is by measuring its gravity, and then it plummets into the atmosphere.
And why do you think it's – how do you extend the mission of these things? What's been the key to keeping these things operating
well,
longer shelf life?
They've got some darn good batteries. Their solar panels are still working, and they have they're very parsimonious with their fuel.
Uh-huh.
So their gears and things have been working too. So it's been a fantastic mission.
And we have Comet ISON. I know we had David Levy. Dr. Levy was on recently talking how excited he is to get kind of his first glimpse. I guess that's going to be coming up this fall. We'll be able to
see it. Around this holiday season.
Yeah, whether
we'll have
it
a holiday
will be
comet,
as exciting
hopefully.
I mean, we've had some, there's been some hype before about some.
And that's true. But it was seen very far out beyond Jupiter. It's very active. So it's got super volatiles going, and so as it was coming in, we're thinking, ye gods, what's going to happen when water turns on as it gets within the dew line at about three times the distance of the Earth from the Sun, and so it's been damping down a little bit, but it still should be a very spectacular nighttime comet.
All right, for more information about Planetary Science Institute, their website is psi.edu. Yes. Got it right this time.
Yes. Yeah. We also have a Facebook page.
Tell us about it.
Check us out on Facebook. We just put up the recipe for PS Iced Tea.
I think I saw that.
Yeah, it could kill dinosaurs.
All right, check it out on Facebook. And while you're at it, become a friend of the Buckmaster Show. We're at my name, Bill Buckmaster. Thank you, Mark Sykes. Good to see you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Bottled Water on the Buckmaster Show is presented to us by Culligan. And we thank Culligan for supplying all of our in-studio guests with a chilling, cool bottle of Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. That's going to do it for the noon hour edition of this Monday of the Buckmaster Show. John C. Scott is up this afternoon, 3 to 5, and he will be in this very studio, as will tomorrow morning Chris and Joe with Wake Up Tucson. I hope you have a great afternoon. I'm Bill Buckmaster. See you tomorrow.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.